Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. It is a beautiful day, a great day to be alive. And you know how blessed we are to be here. We are truly blessed. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Today's sermon is that God should be glorified. And I tell you what, in light of what's going on all around the world right now, what happened in Texas last few days, that's what a lot of this message is about, is suffering, but God should receive all the glory. And when you get to that scripture, I'd like to ask you, if you can, to stand as I read from God's Word. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin within the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. And God, we know that we will face trials, that we will suffer in this life. But we also know, Lord, that You are greater, You are above everything. And we should always keep our eyes on You. Because, Father, when our eyes are on You, we are steadfast. We are immovable. And, God, we pray that today You will open the eyes of our heart and let us receive from Your Word and speak to us, God, today in this message through Your Holy Spirit. And, Father, everything that I speak, let it be from You, dear God, and nothing from my thoughts or my own words or flesh. And we ask it all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As a Christian person, our first and primary goal in all that we say and do should be bringing glory to God. He is worthy of our devotion and our praise. Our lives should be an offering of praise to Him, regardless of what's going on in our life. Do you agree with that? I believe that's true. That's very true. Peter is urging in his writing to suffering believers to keep sight of the big picture that God wants us to see. Even in our suffering, it can bring the glory to God. And the first thing that I want to look at this morning is that in this life, we should expect fiery trials. We should expect trouble. We should expect temptation. We should expect sorrow. We should expect, and I'm going to say this, we should expect sometimes to walk through what people have said, I'm going through the fires of hell right now because there are people right at this moment going through things that you and I have no idea of. Now, Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." Now, that's where your peace is found, is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." So we should expect it. Jesus said it in John 16:33, that in the world we would have tribulation. You're going to go through stuff. Why? Because Jesus, while he was on the face of this earth, I want you to realize that Jesus faced all kinds of fiery trials. Jesus went through a lot of trouble. Jesus went through times of heaviness. Jesus went through times of despair. And you might be thinking to yourself this morning, how could the Son of God go through these things? Because he came as an example for you and I. And if Jesus went through these dark and loathsome places in his life, then you also know that we are going to go through them as well. And since Jesus experienced these things, what did we see Jesus do each time? Jesus would pray. He would quote the word of his Father. He was steadfast in being obedient to God. He was always praising the Father. You never heard Jesus grumble. You never heard Jesus gripe or complain. You never heard Jesus walk around being negative and defeated. He was always uplifting and glorifying the name of God. And if Jesus said that we're going to have these troubles in this life, then we should expect them. We should never stand around when something's starting to take place, and we should never say, "Well, I didn't see that coming. Well, why is this happening to me? Well, I'm a good person. I read the Bible and I pray." Well, here's what I want you to know. You're going to go through fiery trials because, number one, it's going to cause you to keep your eyes. If you are a faithful, steadfast Christian, it will cause you to keep your eyes on God. Secondly, it will cause you to grow in your relationship with Him. It will form a tight bond between you and the Father, and it's going to be easier through everything that you go through in life. It's going to be easier for you to lift your hands and your heart to heaven and say, "Father, even though I'm going through the heaviest time of my life, I praise you." Now, the writer in Philippians said that in all things we're supposed to praise God. We should always praise God. Now, what's happened in Texas? There's a lot of people would say to me, "Now, Brother Jim, that's the craziest thing I've heard. Do you know what these people are going through?" Well, I tell you what, the Lord knows what they're going through, but He said these things would happen, and we should not be surprised when they do. My heart is very heavy today for these families because these are children that are missing, and there's even other family members that are... I mean, I was watching videos where homes were swept away and looking at videos today of the aftermath and destruction. And I am grieved deep in my spirit for these people because I wish there was something I could go and do. But the only thing we could do at a time like this is, "Father, pour out your mercy upon these folks." And I want to tell you this, there are some people right now who are going through some of the darkest days of their life, and they're walking journeys they never thought they would be in. But I know that there's people that are faithful to God because even though they're suffering, their eyes are cast toward heaven and they are worshiping the Father through their fiery trial, Because I want to tell you this, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were facing a fiery trial and a fiery furnace because the king wanted them to bow at the image that he had made, or he said, if you don't, I'm going to cast you into the furnace and you'll be burned up. And here, now get this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't try to put up a physical fight. They didn't try to bust their way out. They didn't come up with some kind of plan. But here's what they did. They told the king, they knew that, they were going to be cast into that fiery furnace, and it didn't matter to them because they said, we will either perish or God will save us. But they also depended on the Lord, and God sent Jesus to be in that fire with them. And the king was so angered by what they said that he threw them into the furnace, and it was heated up much hotter because he was so mad and so enraged. And when they were thrown in there, they were bound up. And then in a little while, the king looked into the fire and he said, well, didn't we throw three men into that fire bound up? And they said, yes, king. And he said, well, I see four men in that fire. They're all unloosed. And he said, one of them has the image of the Son of God. He was seeing Jesus in the midst of the fire. And I want you to know this right now. You might be going through hell in your life, and I'm not cussing, so I want you to understand that. I ain't cussing. But you might be going through it right now. You might be in a deep trial, but I want you to know this. You stand firm in your faith and you trust God with all that you've got. Even if you've got a little bit of faith, you put that out before God and you stand firm in the word that you read, and you believe that when you pray, God hears you and that God is going to answer you. And you also believe that in the midst of your fiery trial, that Jesus, he's already there. And you go ahead and you go into that fiery trial, you go into that furnace, and you let the Lord unbound you, and then all you do is keep your eyes on Jesus, because I guarantee you, when the king had the men brought out of the fiery furnace, they didn't smell of smoke or cinder, and their clothes were not singed. So nobody can tell me that God can't handle anything. My God can do anything. Secondly, in fiery trials, we partake of Christ's suffering. And in verse 13, it said, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ. But here's what it said next. Keep on rejoicing. It doesn't say gripe and complain. It doesn't say murmur. It doesn't say poor pitiful me. That's the attitude you're supposed to have. It says keep on rejoicing. So that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If Christ suffered, we are going to partake of it as well, because Christ was strengthened by God the Father. And in the midst of your suffering, God will meet you right where you are. God will fill you with the power that you need. And you can't get that kind of power from anywhere else. When Jesus ascended back into heaven and He said, I'm sending you another comforter. Now that's the greatest gift we could ever get. I mean, now Jesus dying's greatest gift, but getting the gift of the Holy Spirit, that when you got saved and you became a new creature in Christ, the Holy Spirit came inside of you. Why? To comfort you, to guide you, to teach you, to lead you in all areas of life. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not making myself, I'm not glorifying myself in any way. Let me just say that. But here, I want to say this. I've been going through some stuff in my life. I don't understand why, but you know what? Even though I suffer with some things right now, even though I go through some stuff, I still get in this pulpit and I will still preach the Word of God. I will still get on my knees and pray, and I will still witness to people. I will still pray with others. I will reach out with my heart to those in need, because in my suffering, Christ is with me. And as long as I am rejoicing, then God is moving on my behalf and God is making things to happen. When I start praying on this earth and I'm praying to the God of heaven, then I know that my prayers are going up as a sweet aroma before God sitting on the throne. And I want to tell you this. Your prayers don't go unnoticed. I want you to know, if you've been praying and you think your prayers aren't being answered because you're not hearing anything yet, God works in His own timing. Don't give up, don't give in, and don't let the devil have the place in your life that he's not even supposed to be at. If you are walking with God, you keep rejoicing and you keep suffering as Christ did, because He is your comfort and He is your guide, and He's not going to leave you helpless. He is not going to leave us as orphans. He is not going to leave us to sit and suffer by ourselves. Many times in the New Testament, when Jesus suffered, when He went through stuff, you might read in the Gospels where the angels came and ministered to Jesus. And that's all we have to do. Father, I need You to minister to me in this time. When my mother was sick with the Alzheimer's and the Parkinson's, and her brain is literally dying within her body, and I'm going to basically visit the shell of the woman that I once knew, things were so strange to me. I thought, this is not my mother that I used to talk to and would hug and laugh with and talk to day in, day out, or day in and day out. This is not the woman I once knew. And I was thrust into the position as one of her caretakers, as one to be there for her. And I want you to know this. Through all of that, I said, Lord, I can't do this on my own. This is the hardest thing, dear God, that I've ever had to face before, was watching my mother look at me and say, I don't know who You are. But I knew that probably deep down in her heart, things I couldn't see or know of the Spirit, I knew down deep in my heart that in her heart she knew who I was, even though her mind was absent. But I tell you what, through it all, God just kept saying, you keep your eyes on Me, and I will be with you day in and day out. First Peter 2:21 says, for you have been called for this purpose. And listen to this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. He left us an example so that you would follow in His steps. Now I want you to know, in this life, you have got to make that commitment and you've got to hold on. You really do. You've got to hold on. Hey, have you ever gotten into a car with somebody and they say, buckle your seatbelt and hold on, we're about to go for a ride? And you thought, well, I'm with this person. I can't get out of the car now. We're going too fast. Well, that's kind of what our walk with the Lord's like. The Lord's saying, hold on. It's going to be fast. It's going to be bumpy. Sometimes it's going to be slow. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes the ride will be good. But hold on. I've already been there. And I want you to walk with Me. And he walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. I won't try to sing because I can't sing. But he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. So see, if you just grab onto that, if he's walking with you, then you're not walking alone. And don't go around with your bottom lip dragging the ground. And don't go around griping and complaining. When you gripe and complain, it does nothing. But when you praise God, when you trust God, and you speak His Word, things start to happen. I've told you this before. Every day I pray for my church family because I love all of you. And I know that a lot of you are probably going through things that I don't know about, that I'll never know about, and that's okay. God knows, and I pray for God's blessings, and I pray for God's mercy to be poured out upon you day after day. Why? Because I want to see all of us be blessed in our walk with the Lord. Thirdly, as we stand in fiery trials, the Lord is glorified. If Jesus glorified the Father through what He was going through, then we too should glorify God in our fiery trials. I want to read to you, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. In Acts 16, verses 25 and 26, Paul and Silas. Now you know that Paul and Silas, at this writing, they had been preaching, they had been doing signs and miracles by the power of God, and I want you to know, they were arrested, they were taken, they were stripped of their clothing, and then these people took sticks, and I guarantee you it wasn't some measly little branch. I remember being told, you go cut me a switch, you're about to get your understanding brought into an alignment. And you better not bring me back some little twig or I'll go cut my own. Well, I want you to know these folks were fed up with Paul and Silas, and they took very heavy rods, sticks, thick, and they beat them and they beat them. And I guarantee you they didn't hit them five or six times and then smack them on the hand and say, go your way now. No, they beat them until they probably couldn't stand on their own two feet. And then in Acts 16, let me go back over there. I thought I had that marked. Acts 16, 25 and 26. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Now this is after being arrested and beaten half to death. And the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Okay, Paul and Silas, I mean for the witness of God, were beaten within probably an inch of their life. They were thrown into prison. They were put in shackles and chains and bondaged. And I guarantee you, back in those days, they didn't have a clean prison. I guarantee you there was probably bugs and rats and who knows what other slimy things were in that prison. But they were thrown into the inner parts, and I'm sure it was dark. And at the midnight hour, You didn't hear Paul and Silas going, "Well, God, why did you do this to us? Why did you put us in this place? We were out there doing for you. Why are we here now?" No, that's not what they were doing. Paul and Silas were praising God, and they were singing in the midst of their trial. And they were standing firm fast in their faith in God. And as they sang, the prisoners listened, and the Spirit of God moved, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and they were loosed. That's why I said to you a minute ago, when you pray, when you praise, you are shaking the foundation of heaven. You are making God move in response to your praise and your prayers, and God will shake your foundation. God will shake you in the prison that you're in at the moment, and God will loose you from what you've been shackled under. And once He does, I'm telling you, it's very important that you keep your eyes on Him, that you worship Him, and that you give Him all that you are. Because when you empty yourself of everything else and you let the Spirit of God fill you, there isn't no room for the devil to come around. When you let God fill you daily and you walk in that blessing and you walk in that power, the devil ain't going to stick around. That's why the Bible says that we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We have to know His Word. His Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we're in the midst of a battle, we need to speak God's Word just like Jesus did. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, Jesus would tell Satan, "It is written." And He spoke the Father's Word because Jesus was the Word. And when Jesus spoke it, the devil would flee from Him. And that's all we have to do. Now, if you gripe and grumble and get negative, you know what's going to happen? You've basically opened the front door and you said, "Come on in, devil. Join my pity party." Now, I ain't making fun of nobody, but I'm telling you this. I guarantee you right now, in Texas, we won't see it on the news, but I guarantee you there's people in Texas that have lost stuff. And I guarantee you those people got their hands raised to God and their eyes and their hearts are lifted up to God and they're praising Him today because He is good, He is sovereign, and He is steadfast. He never changes. God is always the greatest. God is always the most awesome. And lastly, God is not glorified when we bring suffering on ourselves. And I want to touch on that because in that scripture, if we bring trouble upon ourselves, then it's on us. And how many people, they'll create their own scenarios. They'll create their own trouble. They'll create their own drama. And then they blame it on somebody else. Or they blame it on the devil. And it happens. I've had people walk into my church office before and sit down, and man, they're going through. But it was everybody else's fault, not theirs. And I thought, everything I about listened to, that I thought, man, that person right there has got to be perfect because ain't nothing they've ever done wrong. But they're in the middle of this thing right now. And I would say this, and I wouldn't say it judgmentally, but I would say, I just want you to hush. I've listened to enough of that negative now. I want you to look at yourself. Have you caused? Have you said? Have you done something that created this turbulence? I want you to really look deep within yourself. Have you created this? Because people who go out and murder and commit crimes and things like that, you know what they do before they get before a judge? Well, I didn't do it. The devil made me do it. I'll tell you what. We're all adults. We're all people. We're all responsible for our actions. The things that I do wrong, I can't say, well, God, Milton made me do it. He told me to do it. I can't do that. Milton ain't got nothing to do with my life or what I do. I'm responsible. See, when you and I stand before God, we're going to be judged for the things that we did. We're going to take an account of. That's why the Bible says, be ye holy as He is holy. That means cut out the bull, cut out the childness, cut out the immaturity in your Christian life, and it's time to start walking as an adult. Paul wrote this. Paul said, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child and I acted like a child, but when I became an adult, those things were put behind me. And that's what we need to say. I was once walking in sin, but Christ came into my life and He made everything new. I'm a new creature. Those old things are passed away. I ain't going to walk in them no more. Everything's been made new. I get to walk in a newness of life. That's what life's about. So remember, don't blame nobody else for what you done and created or started. And there's a lot of fire starters in this world. There's a lot of fire starters in every church. Bob Thomas and I were talking about that earlier. Every single church, there's fire starters. There's people who like to start things and create division. I don't know why. I tell you what, you come into God's body and start doing stuff like that, you're really going to answer to the Lord. You don't answer to me or nobody else, you're going to answer to God. So I tell you what, in this life, you're going to have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now, if He's overcome, guess what? You and I will overcome as well.